government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this September the 29th on the West Coast, now September the 30th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zones. I'd also like to welcome those who may be listening on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world, as well as on blogtalkradio.com. I appreciate the fact that you find the show interesting, and your listeners do, and we hope that's a relationship that will continue far into the future, especially after the dismantling of the old world order. And we'll create our own world out of this. Here we are now, September 30th, as I mentioned, on the East Coast of the United States. This is the end of the fiscal year, so watch for the fireworks to start flying. You think you've read or heard about bank corruption, corporate corruption, and all of that. We've got stories unfolding right before our very eyes today. Last night, actually, shortly before I went on the air, I received an email that seems to be making the rounds around the world on the internet regarding the so-called dismantling of the sheriff's department in Bighorn County, Montana, in the neighborhood of Hardin, Montana. And I was kind of interested in that story. It had several statements made that the city council voted out the sheriff, which they cannot legally do. In fact, the sheriff is probably the highest officer or person in county government administration above the city council, and they can't do a thing to the sheriff. Well, this has more to do with the Hardin, Montana Police Department and the usurpation of that civil authority of law enforcement being replaced with a privatized police department called American Police Force. And I checked out the sheriff dimension of the story before it went on the air last night and found it to be bogus. I don't think I brought it up on last night's show, to tell you the truth, but I did spend 3 hours on two different radio shows, both of the same name, The Story Behind the Story, with last night's guest, Dr. A. True Ott. And Dr. Ott happened to have invited me to his show on Republic Broadcasting Network this afternoon. And we were probably going to talk about the flu pandemic and a lot of the psyops things that are going on. But this email came out, and I decided to check on it. Of course, the sheriff in Montana said that there was no truth to that story, which we presumed had to be bogus. So one has to ask the question, why do they even put this out? And I began digging into the Hardin story, and certainly I fell right on what I should have been looking at. Of course, there was no mention of a correctional facility that's been sitting there for a few years collecting dust. And at a cost of $27 million to the taxpayers, although there were numerous references in preliminary stories that I was able to find about this, what is called the Two Rivers Correctional Facility in Hardin, Montana. And it's under the Two Rivers Authority, which is a port authority formed for the purpose of, let's say, overseeing this whole project. $27 million was spent, $20 actually in building this, and then $7 million to run it. Now, the bond issue aspect of this went into default. There was no stream of revenue produced, and there are there were many questions as to where this $27 million came from. I had some questions, and on the third hour, which I did with Dr. A. Truat on the Rents Broadcasting Network this evening, a representative from American Police Force was there. Her name was Becky Shea. She was very polite and was answering some difficult questions that I asked her, because I had spent all of 15 minutes doing research, and I uncovered a can of worms again, and can associate this with many of the crazy things going on in the real estate industry, the laundering of monies, public monies, and I don't think Ms. Shea is familiar with this. I think this is something that she was basically thrown into as a public relations representative for this organization. What I did find out is that American Police Force is a privatized police agency that is run by a Serbian national. And the word out there is that these are Serbian mercenaries, basically, being put into a privatized police force running a community in the United States of America. If this isn't treason, I do not know what is. And of course, there's massive money laundering. You can see the connections to clinics, hospitals, pharmaceutical companies, through this network of investment companies, as they like to call themselves, who have been conveniently moved or backed out of the parking lot, so to speak, and all of the weight of this project gone awry, that's basically a red herring, is fallen on the shoulders of the city council in Hardin, Montana. Now, I don't know these people at all, but I would say the fact that they're opening a correctional facility, and then the guard, or the contracted guards for this facility, are also taking over the police force, there's something terribly wrong with this. Something terribly wrong of a constitutional nature. And so the bogus email that went out that had half-truths in it, really to make it appear that this was just to take over the sheriff's department, had nothing to do with the sheriff's department, had everything to do with the police department. 12 black SUVs driven in there with the APF logo and the Hardin Police Department signage that was removed. It offended a lot of people, and they removed it. I came across a coat of arms, which appears to be Serbian in nature and not American. I mean, what is going on in this country? What is going on? Where are the legislators in the state of Montana? The attorney general at one time said that this facility could not be opened as a correctional institution. And there was a lawsuit, we were informed, Dr. Ott and I, in this interview that we did, in the third hour broadcast that we did on Rents.com, or the Rents Radio Network, I should say. It wasn't Rents.com. There are just so many questions to be answered, and specifically the private investors that are described as a consortium of Texas investors, and I was able to put my fingers on who that was, and I asked the question and got kind of a half answer about it, but I clarified who this group was, and the financial groups that are out there that originally pulled the strings to make this project happen are out of the picture now. I don't know if that's because of non-performance or because they've already accomplished their goal and stolen the money, the cash. There seems to be $7 million of operating expenses out of this initial $27 million that doesn't appear to be there. I don't know per se. Again, I only spent 15 minutes on it. But I think Ms. Shea and the listening audience was quite surprised, as was Dr. Ott, about what I uncovered in literally 15 minutes of research. This email is still going around the internet, and we have already done 3 hours of radio exposing the fact that this was a scam, and this email on some accounts, was sent out by a talk show personality, sometimes talk show host, a writer on internet websites. And we're going to talk about this in more depth because tonight's guest just happened to send me some copies of the same document that he had received in an email. And our guest tonight has one of the most popular websites in the world for research, especially of this nature. And he himself is a researcher, a metaphysician, and a great guest, and my good friend, Mr. Ken Adachi. Ken, welcome to Evident Footprints.
Hello, Don. Thank you very much. A pleasure to be on with you again.
Well, hearing how I opened the show tonight, and you having received the same email, basically, I did, actually, you received a little bit more than me, and you brought it to my attention, and I was already somewhat in the process of looking at this, and I responded to your communication right away because I knew something was up here. Would you like to share with the listening audience how you came about to learn of this story taking place in Montana?
Yeah, I checked a couple people who I don't really know sent me emails, and they were very foreboding. They used the term red alert. A lot of exclamations in them. Please read, urgent, that type of words in the subject line. So when I read it, the person, the both people who were sending it, seemed perfectly rational, but at the same time, what they were saying was quite alarming, and they were reporting what others had, produced somewhere on the internet. So in one case, I got a guy who included a couple of PDFs, and one of the PDFs included text from someone who was simply identified as a resident of Hardin. No name, no originating URL, no idea who's speaking in this text, but he's saying a lot of alarming things. And he sounds rational. The person who's writing is a rational person. And he says, I'm not making any of this up. This is really happening in real time. He says, we've had tremendous changes in this town in the past 24 hours. And, very excited and very alarmed. So I wrote the guy back who sent me the email. I said, who is this person who is speaking? Where did you get this from? What's the source? He says, I want to, give me a name, give me an email address, give me a phone number. I want to verify this information. I says, I'm not just going to put this up without knowing who's saying what here, and check it out. Guy was very polite, sent me back. He said, he sent me four links in which he gleaned a story from these links. One of the links was a brand new page just put up yesterday. I think it was dated September 28th. By my old doom and gloom, front rank fundamentalist alarmist by the name of Stephen Quayle. I've already written three or four essays critical of Stephen Quayle because he does far too often what he did again yesterday. He's the one who originated this very alarming message from this unnamed, unspecified resident of Harding, Montana. So the first thing I did is when I sent a copy to you, I told you, what do you think of all this? I checked out some YouTube links I was sent, and I particularly studied this article, which Stephen Quayle put up. And then the other guy emailed me, again, very alarmed story about forced vaccinations and checkpoints and choke points and oh my God, the sky is falling, you know. And here too, I didn't know who the guy was. He didn't identify himself, so I asked him to identify the source of this information. He's saying a lot of things as if they were all, you know, certified fact. And I went down, I won. Tell me where you got this, too. And I just, so he said, well, he said, I got it from these sources. He says, I didn't see it myself, but based on what I've been reading at these other sources. Well, he sent me to a page that was just put up a few days ago by a guy who calls himself Dr. Scott Johnson. Now, I don't know who Dr. Scott Johnson is. And I go to his page, and he doesn't tell you who he is. He addresses himself as Dr. Jeff Johnson, but there's no bio to describe who he is, because the first thing I wanted to know is, well, what kind of doctor we have here? It became evident as soon as I hit his page that he's a Christian fundamentalist, big time, end times Armageddon sort of guy. So I want to know, you know, I'm a little bit leery of people who throw around credentials, you know, doctor, because if it's a doctor of divinity, I can get one of those for $35 by sending off, you know, a check to the Universal Life Church. I don't put a lot of, you know, huge, awe-inspiring authority in the people who claim doctorates. Now, it's okay if you got a doctorate in the conventional way and you went to graduate school and you did the dissertations and the whole nine yards, but, you know, I'm a little bit leery of people with divinity doctorates because, frankly, anyone can get one from a diploma mill, and they're perfectly legal.
Now, so nowadays, if I can comment, nowadays it seems like Jesus has everybody coming out from behind the woodwork.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so, your comment's well taken.
Yeah. So, you know, I told you in private conversation, I prefer not to discuss academic background, academic credentials, personally. And I'm not particularly thrilled with people who do make a big issue of addressing themselves as Dr. So-and-so or Professor So-and-so. That tells me something about their ego, something, things that are going on in the background. Now, I'm not interested in being surly or impolite to people. And I have, you know, no problem to follow civilized protocol, if we'll say, you know, we're in a public forum. The guy's, you know, identifying himself as Dr. So-and-so, fine. No problem. We can call him Dr. So-and-so. But in this guy's case, I didn't know what he was. So I started to do a Google search just to see what background info I can get on him. And I did find some pages. I found out he was a chiropractor. So he's a doctor of chiropractic. He's located in Florida, Fort Myers, Florida. So now at least I know something about him. But I also found through a Google search, a page about him that was rather critical, debunking him and highly critical of him in a very, let's say, humorous, comical way,
mm-hmm.
rather ridiculing type of. So I read that and I took note of what this person said about this individual, and it became clear that he is in a similar, let's say, mindset or similar sort of category that others who are of the persuasion that, you know, God is speaking to them exclusively, and I'll throw out a name like Sherry Schreiner, who I've also written critical comments about, and I could include Steve Quayle in this group. There's a lot of them. They're on the internet. They're on internet radio shows. They're some of them are on TV, televangelist types. But there's a certain mindset that these people embrace. And what they tend to do is tend to see themselves as on a mission from God. And in almost all cases, they're fundamentalists. They believe in the end times scenario, in the Armageddon scenario, in
the rapture.
You know, the rapture, what I call British Israel, right about on my page. So when you have that personality, they're quite sure that everything, and I'm not the, you know, saying this in the interest of mocking Christian fundamentalists who believe that, you know, Bible prophecy is unfolding at this time and all that. There's many things that seem to jive with biblical passages, but in many other instances, much of what is touted as prophecy is highly tortured, convoluted thinking combined with a selective Bible reading, and depending on what version of the Bible you're reading. There's over 650 versions of the Bible. This guy, in reading his articles and his, it's pretty clear he's a Christian fundamentalist, and he's been on the internet since 2008, so it's not like he's been here a long time. And he had this article. Much of what he talks about was initially, you know, you could find it on my website. I don't claim that to take credit for every major story that broke in the last decade or so, but I've had more than my fair share of new information that started with my website. I wasn't first out of the box with chemtrails, but I was certainly one of the first to embrace the story, because I started writing about it in the winter of 97-98. I was probably the leading website to espouse the whole story of the Oregon generator movement, chembusters and all that. There's a lot of stories on my website about aliens, about mind control, about high technology implants and psychotronic attacks and microwaves and all that, that I certainly played a leader role in getting out those stories when the information first broke. So this guy embraces, or, you know, talks about many of those aspects, that stories that I've had on my website, you know, when they first broke. So I'm not completely at odds with him with this content, but I do have a problem with the fact that he tends to go overboard. He exaggerates. He says things as if it's uncontestable facts, when often it's speculation mixed in with a little bit of information. And this guy who sent me this breathless email was basing his fear, his anxiety, on what Dr. Scott Johnson had put on his website. So I saw why he got so jacked up, because Johnson is going overboard. Well, Steve Quayle does the same thing, and that's what he did with his Hardin resident expose piece that he put on his website yesterday. He goes overboard. He says a lot of things that are at least partially true, and then other things, this resident is saying things that aren't true.
Mm-hmm.
The resident says the mayor and the common council, whatever they call it there, you know,
city council,
the office of the sheriff, or, you know, and you talk to the sheriff today. And so he says that's completely bogus. Well, who is this Hardin resident that Steve Quayle is fronting on his website? You see, he doesn't identify him. And this is the biggest characteristic of Steve Quayle in his "the sky is falling" alarmist statements, which he's only been, you know, cranking out for the last 5 or 6 or 7 years. I mean, he's on coast to coast on a regular basis. I heard he was just on Jeff Rentz a day or so ago. And who's the source? You almost never find out.
Yeah.
So you can't cross check. You can't, you know. You want to add some.
Well, the sheriff says now keep in mind for the listening audience, you know, in the first paragraph. Let me read this, okay? To the listening audience, maybe we'll pick this thing apart paragraph by paragraph throughout the show tonight. This was just sent to me, I'm quoting, and I want to pass it on to you guys. Red Dawn. Hardin is the test town for President Obama's new law to privatize the police force of local communities. Last night, the city council voted to disband our sheriff's department and to bring in a private security company to police the town. Now, they've disbanded the sheriff's department, but in a later paragraph, they say that, and I'm jumping right in the middle of this paragraph here, that the Hardin police force was already going to be trained by the sheriff's department. Sheriff's department will no longer be in operation by the month of October, but during October, the Sheriff's Department is to train this new security force in all the logistics of running the town of Hardin. Then they go on to say, if you go on the American Police Force site, you might notice that the logo they use is actually a Russian logo. Well, a lot of these are misstatements. Mm-hmm. That is a Serbian coat of arms that they use there. The man running it is not Russian, he's Serbian. Mm-hmm. And so there are a lot of misquotes and things that just aren't possible. I mean, the sheriff's department is flat out denying that that they have lost their power or the sheriff is out of office. Mm-hmm. They flatly deny that. What it appears, however, is that the police department has been privatized by this group of international mercenaries calling themselves American Police Force. Mm-hmm. And I was able to bring out some rather salient points about where they're located, and I don't feel completely that we got totally honest answers. We got the spin and the runaround. Mm. There's an address in Washington, D.C., 1701 Pennsylvania Avenue. You're talking about a block from the White House.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? although this is a California corporation and the man running this American police force private contractor is of Serbian nationality, claimed to be a nationalized American, naturalized American citizen.
Right.
I mean, this isn't more of the same insanity. Now, this email claims that 75% of the staff of American Police Force is to be international of origin. Mm-hmm. Again, whether this is so or not, at least we're putting some of the pieces of the puzzle together. Mm-hmm. But there's the typical money laundering. I'm certain that somebody made off with the money. And there's no pun in that. I'm not saying it's Madoff. So, but somebody did a Madoff with the money. Let's put it that way.
Touché.
Yeah, although the facility is described as being a $27 million facility, it turns out that it cost $20 million to build it and $7 million of capital that was set aside to run this thing seems to have fallen by the wayside as well. Mm. I don't know the particulars on that, the details, but for some reason, what began as a Texas investment consortium all of a sudden is bearing weight, heavy weight, on the shoulders of the city council of Hardin, Montana. Now, I don't know their politics, but I can tell you just from a distance that it stinks to high heaven.
Right.
It stinks all the way across the country. And when
right.
you go down the rabbit hole, and I asked some very probing questions about who these investors are, And I didn't get straightforward answers until I brought up the names. Okay? There's a company called Municipal Capital Management Group, Inc. That is the group that is building correctional facilities around the country, doing this for the National Sheriff's Association. And I suppose that this is probably a covert way of undermining the authority of the sheriff. You get a sheriff a new facility, you come up with a way to pay for it in bonds, they privatize everything. So you're taking public funds and giving it to private corporations to profit.
Mm-hmm.
And inserting international mercenaries as a police force. Mm-hmm. People wake up. Mm-hmm. Can you not see the treason that's being committed in this country?
Mm-hmm.
These are the facts. That's the point I'm making. And there's a lot more digging to do, of course. But just looking at the count of the number of these facilities that they and their cohorts, which is called the Community Education Centers Incorporated, mm-hmm. and Civigenics, which is the database, the computer software database aspect of this whole thing. This is just more of the real estate money laundering. Now, this facility in Hardin, a town of 3,400 people, was built on 40 acres of property. Yet the American Police Force agency that's going to be running this and supposedly has taken over the police force of Hardin, Montana, wants another 10,000 acres to train people. 10,000 acres. It stinks like Blackwater,
mm-hmm.
doesn't it?
Yes, that's a lot of land. That's a huge amount of land. And how do? And the first thing they're going to do is they're going to ring it with 12-foot high fences. With barbed wire and
razor wire.
There's going to be training there, all right. This should be extremely worrisome news to every legislator, every state legislator particularly, as well as the governor. I mean, why the newspapers there throughout the state, forget Hardin, the entire state should be up in arms about what's being proposed to take place in that area. I mean, this is outrageous.
Yeah. Now, Montana, the whole state's always been a threat to
definitely
their designs to whitewash the Second Amendment.
The militia groups there, of course, the Montana militias. You know, the founding father name of militias in this country.
No, people, this is getting more and more ridiculous. You know, in Ohio, the Turnpike Commission had Mexican cleanup crews at all the rest areas, all the rest stops along the Turnpike.
Yeah.
And about a year and a half ago, they got rid of them and replaced them with Ukrainian workers coming into this country. Nothing mm-hmm. against Mexicans, nothing against Ukrainians. What about Americans? What about, why are these jobs given to foreigners?
Mm-hmm.
And these people are just coming right into the country and given these jobs.
Yes, and they're also naturalizing them as well.
Yes, yes, and setting them up with huge cash subsidies.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard as much as $247,000 a person. How they arrive at these numbers, I don't know. I'm sure kickbacks are included in there, at one end or the other. This has been going on for quite some time.
Yeah, in fact, I no longer could watch regular broadcast television after the June cutoff date, June 12, June 15, whatever it was. But just prior to that, just a few weeks prior to that, there was maybe it's more than a few weeks, but anyway, I remember there was a promotion for a show on ABC about essentially glorifying these Homeland Security guys at ports, you know, shipping ports and checkpoints and so forth. Forget it. You know, it was on ABC. I don't know if the show is already off the air now, because I doubt if there are a lot of people be glued to the screen on that one. But they were essentially showing these Homeland Security types supposedly busting and hustling, you know, potential druggies, and you know, they're selling the whole nine yards of their defending, you know, the country and freedom and all that. But as it turns out, and these are just little trailers I caught for a minute or two advertising that show. I didn't even actually watch the show, which maybe it started beginning of January. I can't exactly remember, but I remember seeing these trailers advertising it. And you saw what looked and sounded like Mexican guys in these uniforms, but I also saw more than one big barrel chest bear of a guy, a Russian, definitely with a Russian or Ukraine. You know, you can tell he definitely came from Russia, Ukraine, because he still had enough of an accent, and was saying how, you know, he's, you know, that glad to be in the country, and, you know, it's America, you know, the greatest freedom in the world and all that, and we're here to see to it that, you know, we keep our freedom. And oh brother, you know, I'm listening to this stuff. But when you see that for, you know, border work or for Homeland Security particularly, when they're filling up the ranks with non-Americans, you know, it should tell you something. And I have the feeling FEMA people, camp guards particularly, et cetera, will also be of this non-Native American imported variety as well. Because naturally, they don't want people who have a connection to the country or relatives or
they want
family
people
here
that are going to be ruthless.
Exactly. That's exactly why they're bringing in people from Serbia and Ukraine. That is the reason.
We have to put a stop to this. I mean, is that an outlandish statement I just made? Or
not,
I mean,
at all.
There has to come a time when people wake up and realize what's happening in this country. I'm going to start sounding like Drew Raines in a moment. I don't want to start screaming.
Well, one valuable thing about, you know, Drew's way of talking is that you pay attention.
Oh yeah, I'm not
like
discounting
his
you know, his method. That's
and his,
you know,
natural way of you know, getting across ideas is to really raise his voice. But you pay attention, and that needs to happen. You know, we are in the 11th hour of our betrayal. We are being betrayed. I doubt if anyone listening to this sort of show is not aware of the fact that the Congress, you know, is controlled lock, stock, and barrel by the New World Order, and they control, you know, enough of the High Court to exert their will, and of course they own the executive branch. There's no, you know, that should be clear. So now we got to trickle down to other layers of government and civilian control. Of course, we still have the Constitution, even though they act as if we don't have the Constitution. It's still in place. And then when you go to the state level, well, you got a mixed bag. You got a lot of people there who are essentially in it, as all politicians are, for their own self-gain. But a certain percentage of them are go along. You know, if people, you know, if state politicians who signed into law or passed these model emergency powers act, I mean, that's clearly treasonous. It's certainly a complete violation of the Constitution. So that's been passed in a number of states. I don't know the total number of states that have passed those. 39, that number is sticking in my mind. It could be more, but at least in those 39 states, that's clear evidence that the state legislature at least is majority New World Order control. most governors are New World Order controlled. I suppose there are some exceptions here and there, but anyone who's a true patriot, who's maybe a Jesse Ventura's type, doesn't remain in the governorship. See, if you're that much of a threat to them, they remove you through scandal. Maybe that's what happened to that, what's his name in New York, the governor of New York, begins with a P.
Oh, I forget the names. They've got swinging doors.
Yeah, that was, how long ago was that? Was that 7, 8, 10 months ago? I forget. But, you know, the scandal with the girlfriend and so forth.
Well, you had Elliot Spitzer.
Elliot Spitzer, thank you.
Yeah,
he
was a former attorney general.
Attorney general, I'm sorry. But let's see, wasn't there a New York governor who lost a seat and a black man took his place? Patterson, I think, took his place.
Yeah, they appointed somebody else, you know, was he deputy governor, I think, something like that. Lieutenant governor, I think.
Yeah, Patterson. I'm just trying to remember who he replaced and why. I can't recall the details. Well, anyway, I just wanted to emphasize the point that at the governor level, at the Senate level, in, I suppose, not all, but many cases at the House level, I'm talking about the federal House level, politicians are controlled in multiple ways. One way is that they get a lot of money, they get a lot of perks, they got a lot of inside deals that are made to ensure their wealth and comfort for them and their family for the rest of their life if they play ball. And if they don't play ball, all those goodies go away very quickly. But most of them have blackmail material hanging over their head. So probably the biggest reason most of them play ball and don't have a press conference and denounce the fact that they're selling out the country through one treasonous act after another is that they all have blackmail on them. If you recall from Bryce Taylor's book, Thanks for the Memory, she was present in many cases in which world-famous politicians who she had to, you know, service and have sex with, etc., would have their sexual encounter videotaped and so forth. Sometimes this involved children. And the politician knew he was being videotaped. Because he knew the purpose of it is this is the blackmail material that they have and keep for any of these guys who even think about getting out of line.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes so, a smut film, too.
Yeah, it could be a snuff film. It's often pornography with children, I mean, and very young children. So they got some well-known politician, you know, assaulting, you know, a 5 or 6-year-old girl, for instance. And they have all this on film. So this they sort of use as their backup. So in addition to the money, the perks, the power, being a part of the inside club, you know, getting the special treatment wherever they go, whatever they do, they're always treated like royalty. The backup is the blackmail. So the public needs to know that this is the boat that most governors are in, most senators and most House representatives in. So there's kind of a double insurance, as it were, that they're not going to break ranks. So it's futile to even imagine that, you know, these guys are going to have a change of heart. They won't. So then you got to keep on going farther down the chain of command. Now you got to look at the local level. Well, at least mayors and council members, while they're always in it for themselves, aren't that high up in the pecking order, so they're not going to spend a lot of time and money blackmailing these guys and paying them lots of money. They're just too small and there's too many of them. So they're, if it's something critical, if they're working with a town, they want to get one of their facilities put in, like maybe a town like Hardin, okay? And they want to get one of their privatized prison deals done. Well, you get a rural area, no money there, and you just start greasing the palms of the politicians. Maybe you put in your own guys, because these guys, you know, the Illuminati always plans long term, so, you know, they might have played a role. They probably did. Forget the name, the last name. I think it might have been Greg Smith. But he was a local Hardin individual who played a very large role in selling this idea of this facility, and to have this so-called American police force come in and manage this facility. Now I understand, at least for the last few weeks, this man has totally dropped out of the scene, and I have to wonder why. But these people are often set up to be in that position, to be, because it's been prearranged. I can't say with certainty, I'm just saying this is a pattern. This is certainly what they do with government positions. The Illuminati grooms people from childhood forward. Mm-hmm. A guy like Al Gore was groomed from childhood to become a senator and the vice president, and perhaps the president, had he not been cheated out of the election. But they're groomed. So it's their people all the way. So it's not like the citizens really have a chance. Look at Jay Rockefeller. I mean, he's been in office for a long time. West Virginia, Robert Byrd, wonderful, wonderful soul there. Here he is, you know, the next, I mean, after David Rockefeller dies, who do you suppose is going to, you know, be the head honcho for the Rockefeller dynasty? Jay Rockefeller. And here he is. He's been in the Senate for a long time. And he's forever coming out with some very patriotic sounding, jingoistic statement about this or that, which Robert Byrd does too. You know, both these guys pretend they're constitutionalist and the word about the freedom and democracy and the rights of the people and all that. I mean, the guy's number two in line to control the Rockefeller family. Well, who in America is at the very top of the Illuminati pyramid other than the Rockefeller family? The public has to keep this in mind. We have...
Well, are you talking about Bush? Or are you talking about...
Yeah, well, I'm referring to the Rockefellers as being at the very controlling heart of the Illuminati, but
they have their minions. I mean, you know, Kissinger and Brzezinski are doing their job.
Right,
you know,
his own faction, but definitely a very powerful faction. I mean, particularly,
you got to look at Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Carlisle Group, Halliburton.
Yeah, all these right. All these, and then of course all well-known Illuminati gophers, Kissinger, George Soros, Zygmunt Brzezinski, you know, all underlings of Rockefeller. So, you know, I would say probably, you know, Rockefeller's, in my opinion anyway, certainly seems to be at the tip of the pyramid in America, but Bush is either right next to him or just under him. That's pretty certain, because that's an extremely influential family,
mm-hmm.
to put it mildly. We know well of the true history and genealogy of George Bush Sr. So where I'm going on this is that we need to realize that it's local political organizations can have some effect. If people, ordinary citizens around the country, would get busy in getting their local common council, whatever the name of your city assembly is, to get going on at least talking about, and let's say put in city resolutions or city ordinances or town resolutions that they're not going to abide by mandatory vaccinations. They're not going to abide with, usurpation of what should be a city's police department by a privatized mercenary police force from Serbia. If people don't do it on the local level, if people don't start launching lawsuits, and particularly people who have the experience to put together lawsuits, to at least throw up roadblocks, create injunctions against mandatory vaccination schemes. What was coming up in this month, next month, October, November, is going to be very dicey. These, I was critical of this guy, Scott Johnson. I was critical of Stephen Quayle for exaggerating and going overboard about they had to say about Harding, about forced vaccinations. That's not to say that there isn't a real threat there. There is.
Yeah, yeah.
And but what I like to do is when I told this guy that I emailed him, just going nuts on the internet and sending out panicky, red alert, super urgent, the sky is falling, that doesn't help. That only frightens people, and it puts them in panic mode. People can't think when they're in a panicky mode.
Yeah, so, and that email is riddled with half-truths and outright lies.
Yeah, that's the point. That's when I say exaggerations. That's what I'm referring to.
Yeah.
Half-truths and projections that are converted from a projection from Steve Quayle's mind as if it's a, done deal fact. You can't do that. Above all, people who are, to try to save the country here, to save the day. Yes, we have to take action, and we have to do, but we can't become panic-stricken or allow nervous Nellies like these guys who emailed me or like the Steve Quayles or the Scott Johnsons to override our sense of, our intelligence first, but our sense of proportion and to, keep calm, keep calm. We have to think, we have to do things in a common, collective way. But, these guys aren't helping at all. That's why I was quite riled up when I saw these emails, and I responded to these two guys rather sharply because they're reacting in a very reckless, or maybe that's not the best word, but a very unproductive way,
mm-hmm.
Even when you're being, shot at, and you're just trying to take cover, it doesn't mean that you start hysterically screaming and running around like a chicken. You got to act calmly and intelligently, no matter how, grave the danger might be at that moment. These guys are exaggerating the situation, but at the same time, we have to take steps. And in the case of this idea about choke points, roadblocks, military troops, having people getting them vaccinated right in the car, or otherwise they pull you out and put you on a bus. I mean, this is what Greg Evenson has been talking about for a few months. I'm quite sure they are rehearsing this. It doesn't mean it's going to happen. It doesn't mean it's going to happen on a wide-scale basis. They're rehearsing it. What we should be doing is calmly, but forcefully and vigorously, having groups of people filing injunctions against, first and foremost, the federal government. If Army personnel is involved, that's the federal government. There is no constitutional or legal authority for military troops to be part of any roadblock checkpoint. The people involved in this activity of telling people it's either take this vaccine or you got to get on the bus are engaging in criminal, unconstitutional, treasonous behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And we, the people who are, want to stop this, have to address this right out of the box. and that those who are engaging in this or who are being trained for this have to hear from their neighbor, friends, and relatives, etc., especially the ones who are Americans, this is treason. Doing this is meanings you are a domestic traitor. You are now a Nazi trying to destroy your own countrymen, because that's what that vaccine is designed to do. It's designed to kill you. And those who engage in this are no longer on the side of law or the Constitution, nor are they no longer an ally of American citizens. They are domestic traitors. And we need to talk about them in that way, and we need to have them know that they are engaging in treason, and there is no constitutional authority for any of this. There is no swine flu pandemic, as we know. There's no justification for saying there's a need to vaccinate people. And the only people who are going to die and get sick are the ones who take the vaccine. Children are dying in school. I read on the internet. One doesn't know, because they really, you know, exaggerate. You never see a name, so you can't verify any of this. But I just read some young child in some school, maybe a few young children, dying, and they're saying they're dying in the swine flu. They don't mention whether they got the shot or not. Well, Don, I've got $100 here that I'm going to put on the table and guarantee to you that the child who died got the vaccine. There's no doubt in my mind that a completely unvaccinated, healthy child just got swine flu and fell dead. Mm-mm. Just like Drew Raines brought out a very important story just days ago about a Navy, I think it was September 26th, I'm not sure, about a Navy ship that was quarantined at sea. All the men aboard the ship were vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
A certain number of them died. They brought in extra doctors from an aircraft carrier, I'm told, plus other relief personnel, and some of those personnel got ill. I don't know if any of them died, but they got ill as a result of being mixed with the troops, the men, the sailors, I guess, who were vaccinated. Now, I just saw an article posted at Rens a couple of days ago that led to a blog that's debunking that whole story. This blog, associated probably with that woman who has that flutrackers.com disinformation, misinformation.
That's the Dr. Henry Nyman stuff you're talking
about. Yeah. It's this gal is associated with him. She has something called Flu Trackers, and this is the blog that's, it seems to be associated with that flu tracking operation. Because when I read this blog, you know, I couldn't believe my eyes. These people are talking about this vaccination like it was the greatest thing in the world. And there is some person who said, well, in between patients, you know, this, I don't know who this party is, but I guess whoever he or she is wants us to think they're a doctor. I mean, the blog makes you want to think that. Now, I don't know whether patients mean she's a nurse or she's in a nursing home. I mean, one doesn't know. You're just reading a blog and you have initials for the blogger. But anyway, I was reading this blog and they're debunking this whole thing. This authoritative person on the blog is saying, well, you know, certain facts came to my attention about this whole story.
Mm-hmm.
And that no one died aboard these ships, and this is complete disinformation, and it's a hoax, and blah, blah, blah. So this is what Jeff Rentz puts on his website a couple of days ago. Navy ship swine flu deaths, hoax in large. What's he basing that on? He's basing that on the statements on a blog that's associated with flu trackers, which is part of the WHO CDC disinformation.
Yeah. Now, by the way, we got confirmation that there are 39, not 13, 39 of the midshipmen cadets at Annapolis that have come down with serious cases of the swine flu. So it's happening. Certainly the Navy is being targeted. You know, I'm not saying they're the only ones. That's what we're happening to hear about. I got that information this evening. 39 confirmed.
Well, thank you. I'm going to echo Drew Rain's story. I'm going to take the audio of that show. He did that show with Bob Chapman on that
Yeah,
day.
Bob Chapman also published something quite extensive in the International Forecaster as well.
International Forecaster. That's where I got the story that was sent to me was from the International Forecaster. And so anyway, I heard the audio with Bob and Drew Rains, and very compelling info. And it's clear from the audio that Drew Rains was getting firsthand information from the wives of men aboard that ship. That's where the information was coming from. And it wasn't a hoax like that blogger who so self-assuredly was telling him, oh, these facts came to me in between patients.
Mm-hmm.
This is all a hoax. So, anyway, we have to...
Yeah, that was in real time. Those were coming through those messages.
And what makes sense, he says that the wives were told by the Navy, this is classified, you can't reveal the name of the ship, you can't talk about this, just keep quiet. Naturally, they're Navy wives, you know, when brass comes to them, you know, their security people, whatever, whoever's doing it, they're going to scare the living bejesus out of these gals. And of course they're going to keep quiet.
Well, if you read that account, there were 347 men on that ship. 333 of them came down with severe cases.
Exactly.
Some deaths, and in fact, 50 rescuers that were brought on board that ship. Out of those 50, two became very ill.
Yes.
May have even died. I don't know.
Yes. Right.
But you know, these are specific numbers that are coming out through the
yes.
grapevine, and
so. So, you know, what I'm sure the Navy would like to, you know, put classified all over this, but I'm a civilian. Drew's a civilian. I'm not bound by any statements by the Navy. This is classified or that's classified. If I can find out the name of that ship, if some housewife were to jot it down and anonymously mail it into Drew Rains or myself, I won't waste any time putting that part of the story up.
Yeah, if we have government agencies, it boils down to this, Ken, if I can say this.
Yeah.
You have a government agency that's outright lying to the public. The lies need to be exposed.
Mm-hmm.
When the media is complicit in it, in the propaganda and the lying, they need to be exposed.
Right.
It's a simple fact. And,
right.
and you know, it's we're singing the same song and the same verses. Regurgitated,
right.
You know, spit out and swallowed again and jumbled up, shaken in a can, and cast on the sidewalk like somebody shooting craps in a back alley, and it's always the same spin, the same lies over and over again.
Yeah, and I just want to echo a thought that people who are in government, who are in law enforcement, who are in the military, particularly if you're in the military. And you're hearing my words, our words. When the military itself is engaged in activities, which is treasonous in nature, when the Navy, whoever made the decision in the Navy, to vaccinate these men, knowing what an ordinary civilian like ourselves, we're fully aware of all the dangers involved with these bioweaponized vaccines and the adjutants and the whole nine yards. If we're aware of that, the Admiralty and the Navy is unaware of it? Come on. That's not possible. A ship captain is unaware of things that just a civilian sitting at his computer at home is fully, you know, aware of? No. People are making decisions which is costing the health and lives of your troops. If you betray your troops, you're no longer on our side. And when they, you know, the Navy, unfortunately, I'm talking about, you know, the Navy, the deepest, most secret aspects of the Navy, has been betraying its sailors for a long time. Al Bielek tells the story of the Philadelphia experiment. Navy brass knew well that the men exposed to that energy on the Ford, you know, Philadelphia experiment there were going to die because, you know, but they wanted to go ahead with the test anyway. They would simply discard those men who died and put a fresh crew aboard, which is what they did. And Al Bielek brought this out in his talks. This is why Nikola Tesla withdrew from his participation with the government and with the Navy in the Philadelphia experiment. He told them the men would die if you go ahead with this, and they said, no problem, we'll just put another crew on. So you need to think if you're in the military. You got to think. You got to do the right thing, and you got to first and foremost give your allegiance to the country, to your family, to your fellow countrymen, and to the Constitution. That's first. That's first. And anything that people in the military do to participate in a genocidal operation, such as vaccinating their men, knowing full well what these vaccines are going to do, they're traitors. That's what they are. There's no other way to look at it.
George Bush, when he ejected from the plane that fell into the hands of the Germans,
right.
That's another example, okay? And we had
absolutely
a very brave gunman in the plane in front of him who discounted Bush's story totally.
Right.
That is believable. And what came out, which I wrote about, what Otto Skorzeny said about that incident, it rang of the truth again.
Right.
You see?
Yes.
So we do have the truth. Right there, he committed murder. He murdered
right.
two fellow pilots.
Right.
And you have to admit, the picture they took on the deck of that aircraft carrier the day prior is strange.
Yeah, he's standing with the two guys that he sacrificed.
Oh, yeah. And I mean,
standing buddy-buddy with two guys that he...
Where did he get that curly hair? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you're dealing with a man that's been manipulated in some fashion. You know, that's an anomalous picture.
Yeah.
Not to mention the entity that's in that photo as well.
Yeah.
That many are ready to discount at a moment's notice, and yet, you know, we can connect all the dots.
Yeah.
It all makes sense. And this is just one incident after another, after another, after another, throughout history.
Yeah.
This has been going on. This is not some new phenomenon that's going on.
Yeah.
And the same clowns are running the show.
So I want to emphasize that when the Navy, in this instance, throws around the word classified, and I'm not sure it truly is classified, maybe it is, that's what Drew was told, but let's say it was, that doesn't make it okay. You know, this isn't the middle of World War II. We're not fighting Nazi Germany.
Oh, yes, we are.
Well, yeah, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying.
From within.
The idea that we're, quote, at war. We invaded two countries. I mean, we created a war, but we haven't declared war, and we're not at war in the sense that we were during World War II. That was the declared war, and we had a recognized enemy, and there was, let's say, more justification for, you know, classifying everything.
Well, they're fighting wars. I mean, we're dealing with semantics here. But they're fighting wars. In fact, the financial corruption is treason under the rules of engagement.
But where I'm going is that, you know, slapping on a word classified to cover up something that is treasonous, illegal, unconstitutional, and above all, genocidal in nature is not acceptable. So people who are privy to information should keep that in mind. That what they're doing here is absolute treason, and that their favorite word that those in the CIA or the FBI or intelligence agencies who have abused, particularly mind control victims, MK Ultra victims, etc., when they justify their actions or covering up of facts with the word national security or it's classified, that doesn't make it okay. That's just criminals trying to get you to go along with not revealing their activities by saying, oh, it's classified. So I hope somebody there who's has information, you can make this information known anonymously through the mail. That's the way I would do it. Because if you make phone calls or send emails, that's trackable. But just sending a letter through the mail, not so trackable. And there's no need to identify or in any way expose yourself. But, yeah, we should find out the names of those ships. And it'd be nice if we knew the names of the personnel who actually died. This would be very useful and good for the American people to know.
It seems I recall the name The Boxer mentioned as one. I don't know if that's an aircraft carrier or what, but I haven't really spent a lot of time on that dimension, you know, within the last few days.
I think it's important to get this story out. I mean, I'm sure if the Navy and our government and the government of Israel would like to have us never heard of the USS Cole either. I'm sure that probably was classified. We need to know what's going on when these acts of treason are being perpetuated and it's taking the lives of our own servicemen. This isn't the enemy taking out our servicemen, it's our government taking out our servicemen. We have to stop this. This is what Bob Chapman mentioned in his that show with Drew, which I'm guessing was the September
26th. Yeah, it was pretty recent.
Yeah, very recent. This is the 29th.
I could take a peek here and see if I could...
Yeah. So Bob Chapman also raised his voice on this subject. He says, this has to stop. He says, our government, our military cannot be using our military men as guinea pigs. And it's more, they're not being used as guinea pigs, they're just being vaccinated in the interest of, you know, seeing what happens, how many go down, how fast. This is why they vaccinated so many troops in Gulf War I. They wanted to see how many went down. It was a beta test to see how well, who survives, how sick do they get. How does that incapacitate them on the field? How many die right away? How many die after 6 months? How many die after 2 years? These guys are being tracked. This is treason, Don. This is treason.
Yeah.
And men in the military can't knuckle under to this. They must recognize what's afoot and then go to their immediate commanders and say, come on, let's talk about this. Are we going to participate in our own demise? Are we just going to not say anything like we're robots here? Automatons? Just take the vaccine and push us off the edge of the plank? Come on. It's time to wake up.
Well, I agree.
Yeah.
That sounds like a closing statement. Anything else you want to add? We didn't give out your web address.
Educate-yourself.org. The closing remark is, those who are in the government, particularly in the military, if you're participating in any of these activities, come to your senses. Come to your senses. This is your country. If it goes under you, your family, go under with it. Come to your senses. Do not participate in treason. Do whatever you have to do, but don't participate in treason. Above all, do the right thing. Do the right thing before the eyes of God. Do the right thing. And that's my sermon for the evening.
Well said. Well, Ken, I want to thank you for being on the show. We're coming to the conclusion of a month here and entering the new month. It's going to be interesting to see what happens now that we're at the end of the fiscal year here. I'm sure you're going to find that as interesting as many of our listeners will. We've heard rumors of bank holidays. Of course, we've got people in Europe telling us that we're going to have a bank holiday. This sounds like more CIA claptrap. I should announce officially for anyone who's interested, I posted a recent article that's been updated several times since September the 11th by a journalist, publisher, and editor of the International Currency Review, Christopher Story, on my website, directlightproductions.com, under the news section. And he's outing Leo Wanta as a total operative. And a minion of George H.W. Bush, or who Christopher now calls George H.W. DVD Bush Sr. he throws the initials of the Deutsche Verteidigungsdienst in there as well. Mm-hmm. And that's the Nazi underground intelligence agency operating under the pretext of moving into their 1,000-year Fourth Reich here over, to be celebrated over the destruction of the United States. Yes. And Christopher has actually included a lot of information now that is starting to match up with some other researchers, even with some of my research in that respect. He's seen the light about Leo Wanta. And I guess we should congratulate Leo Wanta on his, according to Christopher's comparison of a signature, Leo is not just the ambassador to China from the Principality of Snake Hill, New South Wales, Australia. this is another financial operation that they're doing for money laundering. There is no such principality, and he got one of the consulates in Ireland to back this up. The Australian ambassador there in Ireland said that that principality does not exist.
No,
but Leo Wanta had signed a document using the same signature, Prince Paul. So he's an ambassador, I guess, and by forged signature, also a prince.
Okay.
Of a principality that does not exist. So,
yeah.
So the money laundering and all of that is still going on. It's worth pointing that out. It's a very interesting read. You can get it at directlightproductions.com on the news page, or you can go to Christopher's story site, worldreports.org, and read the same thing. The financial corruption is going on around the planet. Obama is literally telling everybody that he is God and that the prosperity programs will not be funded. No one will ever see the money. And, of course, we've got traitors in the Pentagon and the U.S. Treasury playing the same game. Federal Reserve is not federal, so they're not traitors, but they never should have been allowed in this country. And it's time to get rid of them as well. And the central banks, all of it. It's nothing but organized crime. No accountability, total collapse of the rule of law. Right. And it underscores what you're saying, because it's again, an element of organized crime. That's all this is. Yeah. So I want to thank you for being on the show, and look forward to your next visit in October. Still with me?
Yes, I am. I as well. And thank.
Okay.
Excuse me. Maybe I had my switch off. There we go. Yeah. Thank you, Don. It's always a pleasure to be on with you.
Okay.
I appreciate the opportunity to rant.
Okay. I appreciate your rant too. Okay, folks. There you have it. This is the end of another show. I've got Drew Raines on. This week, actually, he's going to be on Thursday, on the 1st, and my guest tomorrow night will be Mr. Michael Anthony. So I want to encourage you to listen to the show. As always, we'll have Jim Murray on Friday, and we've got some interesting things to talk about. Now, I did not do Drew Raines' show on Monday. I will be on Wednesday, the 30th of September, on Wind Talkers Radio Network and blogtalkradio.com. That's 2 full hours, beginning Eastern Time, 5 p.m., 4 Central, and 2 Pacific Time. And so if you have an opportunity to tune into that show, we're going to be talking about this issue in Montana and some other things that we're discovering. We're putting the puzzle pieces together little by little, and you're going to be amazed at how well they fit. So I want to thank everyone out there on Wind Talkers Radio Network, blogtalkradio.com, for carrying this show. Special thanks go to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, and most of all you, the listening audience, for tuning in. I wish everyone a night or day filled with peace, love, and light. And for those of you whose bedtime it is, have a good night.